The following is a recording of the Bill Thorne teleconference with the National Retail Federation, scheduled for Thursday, July 26, 2012, at 1:15 p.m. Eastern Time. Excuse me, everyone, and thank you for your patience in holding. We now have our speakers in conference. Please be aware that each of your lines is in a listen-only mode. At the conclusion of the presentation, we will open the floor for questions. At that time, instructions will be given if you would like to ask a question. I would now like to turn the conference over to Bill Thorne. Mr. Thorne, please begin.
Thank you, Lindsay, and welcome to the National Retail Federation's Top 10 Back-to-School Trends Media Briefing. We've got a really good call coming up today, and if you haven't seen it already, we just released our 2012 Back-to-School infographic, and you can find that online at www.nrf.com/back-to-school. Our speakers today include Matthew Shea, who's the president and CEO of the National Retail Federation, and Pam Goodfellow. She is the Consumer Insights Director at Big Insights. We have a lot of great trends to touch on, and all of this in just 30 minutes. If you're looking for specific data during the call, Kathy Granis is available anytime to help. Just shoot her an email. Now, on to the call. Matt Shea joined the NRF in 2010 and has since made great waves in and around Washington for the retail industry. He's really boosted the retail industry profile in Congress, in the administration, in states, and in the news. Under his leadership, NRF hosted its most successful annual convention and launched its unprecedented multi-year, multi-million dollar retail means jobs campaign. Matt will highlight the top 10 trends and that lie deep within our data. And thanks for joining us today, Matt.
Glad to be with everyone. Thank you all for joining.
Matt, I think that everybody knows it's all about people's budgets. It's about what they have, what they don't have, what they're looking at in terms of needs, discretionary and otherwise. What did the poll show us?
Well, I think the thing that jumped out at us and is very clear from the results of the survey is that the economy is top of mind for consumers. More than 8 in 10 respondents indicated that as they make decisions about back-to-school spending this year, that those decisions are going to be made against the backdrop of serious concerns about the overall health of the economy. And I think that's something that makes it pretty clear that, as we say every year when we have this conversation, there may be some takeaways and applications from the results of this to the holiday and the end of year kind of forecast, but this is in no way reflective of what we think is going to happen through the end of the year or what we think about the current state of the economy.
Matt, I think part of the challenge probably is, what are the stores going to have to do to get consumers in the door?
Well, the biggest thing that that stores will have to do, as we know, consumers have changed the way they shop, and that's been driven in part by the economy, and retailers have certainly responded to that. But expect this to be an enormously promotional season for back-to-school shopping, and be prepared for consumers to do an enormous amount of comparison shopping. They're going to be looking at these things online. They're going to be doing price comparison online, using mobile technology to find the best price, and to go out and take advantage of that when they find it. And we also know that because of the concerns about the economy, that if consumers are shopping over a longer period of time, trying to find the best possible deal, and have been doing that over the last weeks and months, looking ahead to the kinds of investments they know they're going to need to make on behalf of their children.
You know, on the second point of replenishing and restocking, it appears that for a few years, back-to-school spending has been either flat or in decline. What does the data show? What's the kind of the reasoning behind this pickup for 2012?
I think that the numbers certainly suggest that spending has been relatively flat, essentially flat, going back almost to 2008. And, you know, there's a certain amount of replenishment that has to occur, so you can only go for so long, you know, with the RIPS backpack and, you know, the now out-of-date electronics that you've got. And I think the thing that is always very clear about back to school is that, you know, when it comes to the things that kids need, parents are going to find a way to get it done. And, you know, if your 12-year-old has outgrown, you know, those jeans that they wore last year because they're 2 inches taller than they were back to school season last year, you're going to put them in a new pair of jeans. You're not going to send them back to school without it. So I think that's a driving factor that all parents are going to consider, and that sort of accounts for why there's a jump this year after many years of this being flat.
The online component, the number three trend that we've identified, what did the poll show as it relates to how online is going to impact sales this year?
Well, it's certainly taken a bigger piece of the pie, and has been for each and every year since we've been measuring this. But we're now up to essentially 40%, 4 out of 10. Response to this survey are going to be shopping online for their back to school needs, and you know that number's doubled from about 20% just a couple of years ago. So I think that reflects what's going on in the wider retail marketplace, and it in part reflects the desire of consumers to want to find that best deal wherever they can, and the price comparison is going to go on. And it reflects the really innovative ways that retailers have taken online and mobile strategies to empower their customers.
The fourth trend that we're going to talk about is, you know, when people shop. You kind of touched on this earlier. What are we seeing as a result of the poll? I mean, is it extended, contracted? What does the poll show us there?
Well, nearly half say that they're shopping. So almost 50% of respondents say that they're going to be shopping 3 weeks to a month before school, and that's compared with less than 5% who said that a year ago. So it's clear that people really are starting earlier, that they perceive the early bird opportunities are going to provide a real chance to save some money. I think that also reflects that budget-focused consumers want to spread out their spending over a longer period of time so that they don't have to compress that all into just the last few days or the last week before school. And I think for retailers, at least one of the implications is that inventory levels are going to vary throughout the summer, and we know, for example, from our proprietary port tracker report, that retailers are increasing the amount of merchandise that they import from overseas anywhere from 2 to 6% each month this summer, and so I think all of that reflects that retailers are, you know, optimistic about back to school sales and are stocking up, but have to do that over a broader period of time.
On the fifth trend, I know that you have three kids, but yours are a long way off from heading to college, but it seems that this number has kind of jumped up. What does this mean for retailers in terms of the empty nest?
Well, I think, you know, to your point, you know, parents are finally going to have a little more peace and quiet as more college-age children say their kids are going to be back in dorms this year. Up significantly, so almost 26%, up from just about 18% last year, so increased by nearly half over last year's number. And obviously when kids are going back into dormitories and living on campus out of mom and dad's house, then that drives a whole range of expenditures, particularly home furnishings and home goods. As kids go back to school and they need everything from microwaves to bed and bath sets and you know, college-sized refrigerators.
The sixth trend, which really shouldn't be a surprise given the growth of that online retail industry, it seems to me that it's indicative of more access. Does this mean more spending?
Yes. I mean, you know, online shoppers really are the cash cow this year, and you know, people spending online are going to spend on average $875 on back-to-school items compared to $680 that back-to-school shoppers will spend in stores. So online shoppers typically always spend more than the average shopper, and much of that is the increase from shopping online for electronics, which are those higher dollar trend purchases.
On the seventh trend, I must say that when I saw this, I don't recall my parents ever offering me an emergency credit card when I went off to college, but it appears that they're moving away from that and that they're giving them gift cards instead. What do you think the reason behind it?
Well, again, here we see another pretty big number, almost 40% of parents with college-age children, or in some cases the students themselves, are going to buy gift cards as they get ready to head back to school. And part of that, I think, is the continuation of efforts to move away from debt, and so spending cash on essentially on a cash card, and then leaving it to the college student and the kids themselves to figure out how to put that money to work when they get to school, you know, whether that's on dining or entertainment or you know, other needs as they get back into those dorms and live on campus and discover they need that extension cord or they need to you know, fix that light bulb that's not working in that new dorm room.
On the eighth trend, I think this was kind of a surprise because they haven't really been a major source of back-to-school shopping, but it looks like catalogs are back. What's the reason behind that trend?
Well, you know, I think going back to the days when retailers relied on catalogs, it's an opportunity really to put a product assortment out there. And it's clear that college shoppers this year are really sort of taking a page out of the playbook from their parents or even their grandparents by embracing catalogs as a place to look for the items they need. More college students and their parents this year say they're going to shop via catalog. Just another big jump to 15% from 11 last year, so an increase of almost half, and the highest in the history of the survey that we've conducted. And the growth in digital catalogs, ones that can be accessed via smartphones and tablets, are also driving popularity this year. So it's not just catalogs in the traditional sense, but it's the way that retailers, again, are innovating and thinking of progressive ways to make the old new and to deliver some of that content maybe in a new way.
On the ninth trend, Matt, I think that may be a really reasonable explanation for the jump that we saw, a pretty significant jump in the back-to-school spending last year, I believe up 14%. Is that, I think, when you look at how things are going to shape up for the school year, is it just because of the kids, or is it just because of the replenishment, or is this really kind of the core?
Well, I think that it's clear that two things are happening, at least, and one of the things that's happening we've already talked about, and that is that people are spending more on items because they need to replace and replenish some of the items that have worn out or become outdated. But the fundamental underlying piece that's driving this increase is an increase in the base of people that are out there spending. So when we think about back to school, you know, one of the reasons that you cannot extrapolate from this to the holiday season or to the broader economy is because it's only about a third of households that are going back to school to begin with. But this happens to be one of those years, and over the next couple of years, it's going to continue, that because there are more school-aged children entering elementary school, and now we see people getting off the sidelines going back to college, the base is growing as well and expanding, and that does account for a significant amount of the growth here because you're pulling new people and new families into this back-to-school season.
I know that's good news for the retailers. The department stores appear to have come back in favor with the shoppers. Why do you think that is?
Well, listen, shoppers are enormously price conscious. We know that, and that's reflected in the fact that that many retailers, particularly in the discount segment, that lead with price, are going to remain the most popular destination overall. But department stores are really back in a big way because they've, in many cases, unlocked the secret to you know, what value means. And value means, in part, price, but it can also mean quality and service and selection. Certainly, department stores have done a fabulous job over the last couple of years with their private label offerings and delivering it in a way that, you know, the kids have found cool again. And so that's why there's a resurgence in this segment of the marketplace.
I know a lot of our members would be happy about that. So at this point, I'd like to turn our discussion over to Pam Goodfellow. As a Consumer Insights Director for Big Insight, Pam possesses a decade of expertise in consumer behavior related to the economy and retailing and spending plans. She's frequently quoted as a voice of the people spokesperson for issues that relate to consumer insights and marketplace changes. So, Pam, do you want to give us some thoughts?
Sure. Thanks, Bill. And before I begin, I'd like to thank the National Retail Federation for having me on today. Today I'm just going to present about 5 points here from our monthly survey of more than 8,000 consumers. I have a few thoughts on a couple of macroeconomic level issues as well as consumer finances and spending. And we'll take this from a broad perspective and then kind of tie it into what we're seeing for back to school this year. So my first point is that consumer confidence has improved, but it isn't stellar. In our July survey, we found that one-third of Americans feel that they are very confident or confident in chances for a strong economy this year. And this is actually the highest July reading headed into a back-to-school season that we've seen during or since the quote-unquote Great Recession, as it is. That would be July 2008 and onward. Actually, in July 2008, we saw confidence levels in the high teens. And in the past three Julys, we've seen confidence in the upper 20% range. So this month's reading of 32.8% is actually an improvement. But I think it's important to note, too, that it's actually 30% below where we were back in July 2007 when the near majority were confident in chances for a strong economy. And if we were talking about a good economy, we would expect confidence levels in the 40 to 50% range. So with about a third currently, we're still well below that. So this lack of economic optimism will lead to hesitant spending among consumers, fiscal conservatism. We've got savings, debt reduction, those sorts of things, which I'll get to in a minute. So as I kind of wrap this up and move into my next point, we ask the question, why does confidence remain suppressed? And that leads to employment, or rather unemployment, which continues to be a chief concern among consumers. Employment might be the ultimate challenge to reviving consumer confidence. Our flatlining unemployment rate, which is currently 8.2%, isn't doing much to quell concerns among consumers. In July, we found that just one in five is predicting fewer layoffs over the next 6 months, And this number has actually remained relatively stagnant compared to July 2010 and 2011. So this group of optimists really aren't growing in number. And this is interesting, given that the unemployment rate has actually declined over the past couple of years. We've gone from the low 9% range to the current 8% range. But, you know, what we're seeing with our data is that 8% is still out of consumers' comfort zone. Our data this month showed that the majority of consumers are anticipating more of the same for employment. And as, you know, I just said, 8% is just still too high. So this, you know, is leading to our lackluster confidence levels. We saw personal job concerns uptick in July. People are worried about becoming laid off themselves. And these types of concerns lead to long-term changes and approaches to spending and savings, which we'll see in a moment. But, employment and confidence, these indicators we're seeing just kind of go back to what Matt was saying earlier with back to school, is that the economy is still top of mind. And it's top of mind because it's top of mind among consumers in general, not just back to school shoppers. So my third point is that practicality is still pleasing to consumers. And we talk about the new normal and, the frugal state of mind that consumers are in right now. And it's because they are adopting new shopping strategies versus 2007. We're doing a lot more price comparing, using coupons a lot more, buying generics, these types of things. And this is because the majority or near majority continue to focus on just what they need when at the store, or, practical shopping habits. Now, these figures that we track have actually lowered somewhat from what we recorded in July, both during and after the recession. However, these indicators remain well above what we recorded pre-downturn. So we're talking, in the 2007 area. So what does this mean for retailers? It means that their shoppers are still going to watch their impulse purchasing. It means that shoppers will be comparing prices, perhaps online or even on their mobile devices. And, we can tie this back to school with the uptick in online shopping plans that Matt was talking about earlier. We'll see shoppers that continue to work within budgets. And, again, going back to school, Matt talked about shoppers going out earlier and kind of spreading out the spending over, maybe a month or two time period. And then we'll probably also see consumers relying less on credit. And that brings me to my fourth point, that debt, spending, and savings are still top of mind among consumers in general. Shoppers really have been striving to build or rebuild solid financial foundations since the recession, when they were literally wiped out. We're seeing plans to pay down debt remain strong, rising intentions for increasing savings. And we're also seeing that more consumers are trying to decrease their overall spending. And you might ask if this is counter to what we're seeing this season with the back-to-school spending increase. But, I want to reiterate that back-to-school shoppers in this buying season is different from what we see among general shopping habits. We have to remember that back-to-school shoppers are a special segment of the population and represent only a fraction of the population. Back-to-school shopping is more mandatory and less discretionary. From some parents, it's the same as, buying your pencils and notebooks and backpacks and those types of things, or, it's equivalent to, buying food and gas. And then we also have to remember that back-to-school shoppers will probably be shifting their spending in other areas to accommodate their back-to-school needs. So we might see some cutbacks in dining out or entertainment. Shoppers might switch to generics in order to keep their budgets in line. Now, going back to financial plans, we also saw a June to July uptick in plans to pay with cash more often. And, this goes back to the back-to-school trend we're seeing on, shoppers will be scrimping and saving it from other areas so that their additional back-to-school spending won't be inflated by interest rate charges. My final point today is that big-ticket items might be the ticket to spending. So everything I talk about today isn't going to be all bad news. Among consumers in general, we're actually seeing year-over-year increases in major merchandise categories. And that includes computers, mobile devices, and TVs. So we might be seeing this replenishment trend among the mainstream consumer as well. You know, TVs, mobile phones become that are existing, you know, they become outdated. And, you know, it's hard to argue that when back-to-school, the back-to-school promotional season is very promotional and deal-oriented, and I think we might see some non-school shoppers headed out this year to take advantage of some of those promotions. Now, we've also seen a rise in planned home furnishings expenditures, and this is consistent with the rise in the percent planning to buy dorm or apartment furnishings for back to college that Max spoke about. I think retailers have done a great job of touting these dorm essentials and creating the need for a home away from home. We're talking the lamps that match the bedspread, that match the rug, and you can't forget about the picture frames and the special wall hangings. I think college students have come a long way from, you know, my day when we used tape and stick them and put a few posters up on our walls. So this kind of reiterates that, for back to college and for retailers in general, the home furnishing category will be particularly vital. And with more parents experiencing that empty nest feeling this year for back to college, we expect to see a nice uptick in home furnishings purchases. Now, to get behind some of the reasoning behind why, you know, we might be seeing some of these upticks in spending on electronics and furnishings and these big ticket items, when we know that consumers are frugal, we kind of have to ask the question too: are parents themselves trading up? So the back to school shopping season might not be about spend on the students. We'll probably see parents taking advantage of back-to-school deals for themselves and maybe passing their old possessions on to their students. You know, for example, that, you know, the 10-year-old living room couch might be headed to the student's new apartment or dorm room, and mom's picking out new furnishings for herself. And this is also relevant with the electronics category. The old laptop gets passed on, or the TV set. And it's really a win-win for students and their parents. The student gets ready for school and gets their supplies and what they need to furnish their apartment or dorm. And then the parents get to buy new without experiencing that guilt. We've seen this for the past couple of years. Shoppers really have to feel good about spending again, good about spending their hard-earned and hard-saved dollars. And I think, with this kind of mindset, we might see some bigger ticket purchases this year. So I was going to, before I hand the call back over to Bill, I just want to reiterate a couple of my key takeaways here. And the first is, while consumers are still concerned about the state of the economy and employment, they are recognizing the need to replenish or restock their back-to-school supplies, and the emphasis there is on need. So this mandatory spending on back-to-school will likely affect spending in other areas. Frugal shoppers might reduce spending on entertainment, dining out, even something as simple as switching to generics in order to keep their budgets in line. And then while consumers remain focused on their finances, sometimes, you know, a good deal might be too hard to pass up. So with increasing interest that we're seeing in electronics and furnishings, it looks like retailers may have the opportunity to close some higher dollar sales this season. And that is if they coax shoppers with, you know, what they really want, sales, promotions, and other deals. So with that, I will pass the call back over to Bill, and I think we're going to start into questions.
Thanks, Pam. That was incredibly informative, and appreciate the information. So, Lindsay, are you there? Can we go ahead and open the line for questions?
Certainly, sir. At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the 1 key on your telephone keypad now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, press star 2. Again, that is star 1 to ask a question.
So while those questions are getting queued up, let me just ask you a quick question, Matt, because Pam really hit on the economy. We talked about the economy. But again, spending, even though it's a very small class, but spending is up. Is this a good sign leading into the holiday season?
I think it's a it's a good episode for back to school, but I don't think that this tells us anything about back to holiday spending. Back to school is distinct for all the reasons we discussed, and I think, you know, we have to be realistic about you know, the environment in which this is all going to take place over the next couple of months. So we've got the elections upcoming. We've got lots of conversation about the so-called fiscal cliff and the expiration of a variety of tax cuts, and equally troubling, the imposition of significant new expenses for a whole range of new employer obligations. You know, the so-called 01 and 03 tax cuts aren't even the biggest part of the $600 billion hit that the economy is going to take on January 1st if we don't fix some of these things. So the Congress and the administration have an enormous amount of work to do and leadership to demonstrate in order to position our economy and consumers to have a successful and a happy holiday season, and we're certainly working aggressively to be sure that happens.
Right. Thanks, Matt. So I think we're ready to go ahead and take questions.
Yes, sir. Our first question comes from Oliver St. John with USA Today.
Hi. So I've got a question about how might be seeing some replenishment trend among overall consumers as well, and that non-school shoppers might be taking advantage of some of these promotions too. And I've been seeing all kinds of back-to-school sales and everything from skateboard wholesalers to flower delivery specialists, like things that are obviously not back-to-school stuff. And I'm wondering, is there something magical about that this phrase back-to-school that like, if retailers think they can associate their product with it, people will, you know, start taking out their wallets. Like, is there a back-to-school bandwagon that everyone's jumping on?
We'll start with that and work our way back. If there were such a bandwagon and retailers promoted and marketed around that and consumers jumped on it, that would be terrific for the economy. But it would not be reflected, I don't think, in the responses to this survey, because remember, the survey asked consumers about what they expect to do back to school, as opposed to retailers who may or may not be selling back to school items trying to market around that. So with regard to the data that's contained in the survey, that's from the perspective of the shoppers, not the perspective of the retailers. And as to the replenishment question, I had a hard time hearing you, but you know, we think that the combination of replenishment and the expanded base of families coming into the back to school segment are really the two drivers of this. So you know, increasing the rate of the spend because of replenishment and because of the sales being driven by online. And increasing the base, because in absolute terms, there are just more shoppers out there this time around because we've got all these new school-age children.
Mm-hmm. All right, next question.
Our next question comes from Chantel Toad with Mobile Marketer.
Hi there. I'm wondering if you can tell me how big a role do you think that mobile will play in consumers shopping, back to school shopping this year? And then how has the use of mobile by retailers evolved since last year's back to school season?
This is Matt. Mobile is, I think, far and away the driving factor for many retailers in terms of where they're investing, how they're trying to engage consumers in a 24/7, 365 kind of experience. It is, I think, for many retailers, they would say that is the means by which they are driving sales most dramatically. I was with a One Kings Lane, which is one of the retailers that's actually got a back-to-school promotion going on today, which is a an online, you know, mostly home furnishing, home goods flash sale site. And they went from zero mobile sales 2 years ago to 25% of their sales today are driven by mobile. So in 2 years, a fourth of what they sell is materialized through mobile. So mobile is a huge piece. I do not think we can overstate the importance of mobile. We recently just at NRF created a industry mobile retail initiative that pulls together retail executives from key companies in a variety of disciplines to pursue this. And I think this is an area that's getting enormous CapEx expenditures from investments from retailers. And it's driving sales because that's where consumers are headed. So the evolution from last year, I think it's been pretty dramatic. And when we talk about online kinds of activities, the fact that 40% of sales are going to be done online, maybe not all of those are on mobile, but a significant proportion of those will be. So this will continue to be the hottest way in which to drive sales, I think, for many retailers.
Hey, Pam, did you have any thoughts about that as well, based on the research?
I do agree with Matt there that mobile is becoming increasingly important for retailers and consumers too. You know, we have seen a lot of trends where consumers are increasingly comparing prices, and mobile makes it easier for us to do that. I mean, who thought a few years ago we'd be standing in the middle of the store looking at a TV set and be able to, you know, get a price comparison from 10 different retailers and maybe even buy it right there on your phone. So I think as this technology evolves, you know, consumers are just going to increasingly embrace it.
Thanks, Pam.
Our next question comes from Joan Burden with The Record.
Yes, I have two different unrelated questions, if you'll bear with me. The first is I just want to make sure I was reading these statistics right. I believe in the big research survey, you asked parents if their children wore school uniforms, and there's been a big increase in the percentage who said yes, up from 15.8 in 2007. To 22.5 this year, and I just, maybe the big research people can tell me if I have those numbers right, and also, Matt, if you could comment on if your retailers are seeing any impact on that, or if that's damping down clothing spending.
Pam?
Yes, this year for 2012, I am seeing a pretty nice increase, especially over 2007 for uniforms. Back in 2007, it was 15.8, and this year's was 22.5. So there has been an increase there. The past couple of years, it has floated in that high teen range.
And Matt, are you there's any thinking that is impacting clothing sales at all?
Yeah, I think certainly it is for some retailers. And, you know, listen, at some schools, a, quote, uniform might mean that boys wear a blue blazer and a pair of khakis. And at some places, it's, you know, more specific than that. So, I mean, many retailers could benefit from this. But as Pam said, the number going back to at least to 2008 has been, you know, in the 18 to 20% range. This year it's 22, so it's a little bit higher, but not dramatically higher than, you know, in 09 it was 19.5%, in 10 it was a little over 20%, last year was 18.5%. So it's up 4% from last year, but it's very close to what it was in 8, 9, and 10. So I don't know if we can, extrapolate any more from that or not.
Thanks for the question. Next question.
And Matt, I just wanted to ask you, you've been very involved in, you know, the whole Main Street fairness and issues involving downtown retailers. And one thing I'm wondering about is, do downtown retailers share in any of the back-to-school boost or has it sort of become a completely a chain store mall type event?
No, I think Main Street retailers and mom and pops and independents absolutely play a role here. I think it's you know, it's no surprise that because of the reach and the scope of discounters and department stores that those continue to be very popular destinations for back to school. But you know, clothing stores, just generic, so forget about discount or department, but just the generic clothing store is better than 50% of back-to-school shoppers say they're going to shop at a clothing store, and that could be, you know, the independent or the small mom and pop. And so, you know, we've seen discount stores consistently be in the you know, high 60s to mid 70s, although that's fallen from a peak in 8 and 9 when discount stores were nearly 75%, so three-quarters, now down to two-thirds. And over that same period of time, really department stores have, to the extent that they take share from each other, department stores have taken share. And clothing stores generically have grown as well, from less than 48% 4 years ago to now 52%. So I think to the extent that independents fit into that category, that this is an opportunity for mom and pops and Main Street retailers to be competitive as well. And, you know, there are some inherent advantages in being a little bit smaller, the relationships that can be developed between customers and a long-time retailer that's been in the community for many years, you know, just happen at a different level than they do at maybe at a larger enterprise. So we think there's ample room for competition, but we also feel enormously strongly that we do need to create a level playing field. And so things like the Main Street Fairness Marketplace Fairness Act on Internet Sales Tax are critical, and that's one of the reasons that we've been, you know, promoting a federal solution to that problem for a decade, and feel very good about the momentum we have. A hearing that took place in the Congress this week, another hearing that will happen next week. So that's a solution that's on the way, and we think it's no longer a question of whether it will happen. It's just a question of when it's going to happen, and we'll be thrilled for all retailers when it does.
Great. Thank you.
Next question.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Arnold Jarr with Women's Wear Daily.
Matt, it's Arnie Carr.
Hi, Arnie.
Happy for the name change, though. I wanted to follow up also on the matter of how retailers were planning inventories going into back to school, and any visibility you have about the plans on inventory for holiday at this point. Obviously, they had a fairly promotional holiday last year, and they've seen some erosion in sales recently. You get the feeling that they're a little bit more risk adverse than they may have been a year ago going into back to school 2011?
You know, the intuition is the intuition on that would be yes, maybe. But now I got to tell you, I've talked to a number of retailers over the course of the past several weeks about a variety of issues, and always have asked the question about, you know, not kind of not specifically back to school, but what are you thinking about for the fall and as we head into the last quarter of the year?
Sure.
And I've been impressed that that those with whom I've had a conversation have said, you know, listen, we've weathered the worst of it, and, you know, yeah, we got to deal with the fiscal cliff. I mean, for a while, everybody was worried about Europe,
yeah,
and the things that are really outside our control. And I think what people are, to the extent people are concerned, people are now concerned about, are we going to shoot ourselves in the foot? It's one thing if Europe shoots us in the foot and we don't have our finger on the trigger, but if we do it to ourselves, that's far more painful. And so I think that's the variable and the risk factor that retailers are concerned about now that's taken primacy over Europe. But I have not heard anyone express serious concerns or reservations about the end of the year activity. I think people are going to be thoughtful and cautious, and I think that to the extent that they are more thoughtful or more cautious than they were a year ago, I think that will be reflective of, you know, of the current macro economic trends, as well as what is and is not happening on Capitol Hill. But no, at this point, we've not heard anyone, I've not had anyone say to me that they were gravely concerned about end-of-year things. And, in fact, a number of folks have said that, you know, they've had good, after a couple of lackluster months in the late spring, that they've had a good July and are expecting to be reasonably strong through the end of the year.
And we find out more next week. Thanks very much, Matt.
Yes, thanks, Arne.
I think we have one more question.
Our next question comes from Jessica Wohl with Reuters.
Good afternoon, and thanks for holding the call. Wondering if either of you can talk about sales tax holidays, and are there any that are maybe moving earlier this year as shoppers are starting their back-to-school shopping earlier, and have you looked maybe state by state how many there are versus prior years?
You know, this is Matt Shea. At this point, I don't think that that we can answer that. I don't think any of us are aware of the timing of what's happened here, although I mean, I think, again, your supposition is a reasonable one, that if shoppers are doing what we know they are based on the results of the survey, and that is spreading their purchases out over a greater period of weeks in order to find the best deals, that states might consider riding the wave, so to speak, and backing up their sales tax holidays to match consumer sentiment. The logic makes sense, but in practical terms, at this point, I don't think we can confirm that based on anything we've heard from state.
Okay, thanks.
Well, I think that we're coming up on time right now, and I want to thank everybody for joining the call. We've had quite a bit of information, and I wanted to let you know that the stats, the raw data, and the historical information can be found at the NRF's back-to-school headquarters. And that's, again, www.nrf.com/back-to-school. I specifically wanted to point out the availability of an infographic that outlines the trends we talked about today. And there's a downloadable resource kit we like to call our back-to-school cheat sheet. So if you're interested in embedding your infographic, you can find that information on the site as well. And we'd love to have that as an added visual piece to any stories you may end up writing on this topic. Again, all these resources can be found at www.nrf.com/back-to-school. And feel free to reach out to our team if you need any assistance with anything we've covered today. Kathy Granis has done a phenomenal job. She's been assisted by a number of folks, specifically Tony Fontana, and they can assist you with anything that you need. So at this point, I want to thank you, Matt and Pam, everyone else that's helped this call come about, those that have participated. And again, if you need any information, please don't hesitate to call. Lindsay, I think that wraps it up.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's teleconference. You may now disconnect.